Now, regarding spiritual gifts, brothers, I don't want you to be ignorant. You know that when you were Gentiles, you were led away to those mute idols, however you might be led. This entire location is extremely unclear, but the ambiguity is created by our lack of knowledge of the events referred to and by their termination, being such as that used to happen but now no longer occur. And why don't they happen now? Now see, the reason for the ambiguity has brought up another question for us. Specifically, why did they happen then, and why do they no longer occur? Let's postpone this discussion for another time, but for now, let's talk about what was happening then. Well, what happened? Anyone who was baptized immediately spoke in different languages, and not just languages. Many also prophesied, and some performed many other amazing works. Since they had converted from idolatry without any clear understanding or knowledge of the ancient scriptures, they received the Spirit immediately upon their baptism, even though they couldn't see the Spirit, for it is invisible. Thus, God's grace gave them some tangible proof of this energy. One person suddenly spoke in Persian, another in Roman, another in Indian, or another in a different language. This demonstrated to the outsiders that it was the Spirit within the person speaking. Hence, he refers to it as, "But to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for mutual benefit," referring to the gifts as a manifestation of the Spirit. Just as the apostles had first received this sign, the faithful also continued to receive it, that is, the gift of languages, but not only this, but also many others. Many even raised the dead, cast out demons, and performed many other miracles, and they also had gifts, some less and some more. But the gift of languages was the most common among them, and this led to division. Not because of the gift itself, but because of the attitudes of those who received it. Those with the greater gifts looked down on those with lesser gifts, and those with lesser gifts were unhappy and envious of those with greater gifts. And Paul mentions this as he continues, "Since then, they were suffering a serious setback in the dissolution of their charity, and he takes great care to rectify it." This incident occurred in Rome too, but not in the same manner. This is why, in the Epistle to the Romans, he discussed it, albeit obliquely and briefly, saying, "For even as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another, and having gifts differing according to the grace that was given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of our faith, or ministry, let us devote ourselves to our ministry, or he that teaches to his teaching." And that the Romans too were falling into willfulness, he indicates at the start of that discourse, saying, "For I say, through the grace given to me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned." With these people, he conversed casually, as their problems with division and pride had not escalated considerably. However, here he spoke with grave concern, as the problem had significantly escalated. And this wasn't the only thing that troubled them, but there were also many fortune tellers in the area, since the city was unusually drawn to Greek customs, including this, which was causing upset and disruption among them. This is why he starts by initially distinguishing the difference between fortune telling and prophecy. For this reason, they also received the discerning of spirits, in order to identify and understand who is speaking through a clean spirit and who through a dirty one. Because it wasn't possible to prove the truth of their inner thoughts immediately, and prophecy provides its own proof not when it is spoken, but at the event's actual occurrence. And it wasn't easy to tell the real prophet from the fake one, because even the devil, being as cursed as he is, had infiltrated those that prophesied, introducing false prophets pretending to predict the future. And moreover, people were easily misled, since the prophesied events couldn't be tested right away before they happened. In order to prevent listeners from getting tricked before the predicted event happens, God allows them a sign that can reveal a real prophet from a fake one even before the occurrence of the event. Hence, he carries on the discussion on divine gifts and deals with the disagreement that arose from it. Though for now, he begins the discussion on fortune tellers, saying this, "Regarding spiritual gifts, brothers, I don't want you to be uninformed," referring to these signs as spiritual, "because they are solely the works of the Spirit, without any human effort contributing to such wonders. And planning to discuss them first, as I stated, he presents the difference between fortune-telling and prophecy, saying like this, "You know that when you were Gentiles, you were drawn to those mute idols, however you might have been led." What he means is, in the idol temples, he says, if anyone was ever possessed by an impure spirit and began to prophesy, he was dragged away by that spirit as if in chains, completely ignorant of the things he was saying. This is typical of a fortune teller, to be out of his mind, to be forced, to be pushed, to be dragged, to be treated as a madman, but not the prophet. He speaks with a clear mind and a calm demeanor. Aware of what he is saying, he speaks all things. So even before it happens, distinguish between the fortune teller and the prophet from this, and see how he removes any doubt from his speech, calling on those who had experienced the matter to testify. As if he had said, "I do not lie nor slander the Gentiles' religion thoughtlessly, pretending to be an enemy. You yourself bear witness to me, recognizing as you do when you were Gentiles how you were pulled and dragged away then? But if anyone should suggest that even these people are suspected as believers, let me prove this to you even from those who are non-believers." Listen, for example, to Plato saying this, "Just as those who deliver prophecies and the fortune-tellers say many great things but know nothing of what they proclaim." Listen again to another, a poet, expressing the same idea. For instance, by some secret rituals and magic, someone had trapped a demon in a man, and the man started predicting future events. And during his predictions, he was thrown and torn and was unable to withstand the demon's force, but was at the verge of dying from the violent convulsion. He says to the people who were conducting such secret rituals, "Release me, please.